You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We begin the third hour of our program. It's been quite a ride so far. Shedley is in Mississippi, and you are next up.
What is going on, Paul?
Hey there.
You remember me at the airport back here about 5-6 years ago, me and you in Memphis?
Oh, yeah, I do remember you. I sure do.
Yeah, I'm a big-time Alabama fan. Look, everybody talking about Deion Sanders this, Deion Sanders that. Deion Sanders did a whole lot for Mississippi, period. And what I say about Mississippi is Deion done changed the whole atmosphere in this area for us athletes and people who to come to that program. I'm not mad at Deion going to Colorado because guess what? Deion is going to a college that used to be a powerhouse back in the day. Remember Cordell Stewart?
Oh, sure.
Bienemy? All them guys come out of there. That was a powerhouse when Nebraska, the Notre Dame, you know, all of them went against each other. So, to me, he's done a lot for Mississippi. According to what he done, he done laid the pathway for Jackson, Mississippi. I'm from Mississippi, so I'm happy for what he done for the businesses. He even had the airport come in. You know what I'm saying?
No, I would agree. I mean, he's a transformational person.
And, you know, I really believe, Paul, when he go to Colorado, I think he's still going to have a little tie-in with Jackson down there. I really believe he's not just going to leave him hanging like that, you know. He changed the swag. He got everybody looking at us, you know, on ESPN and all that stuff now, you know. He did a good movement for us to swag, you know. And eyes open, you know, for everyone to come there and play when they really couldn't go there and play. You know.
Well, the SWAC has a history of coaches like that, going back to obviously Eddie Robinson and Mario Kasems and so many legendary figures.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad to see it because I covered that league at the beginning of my career and I've stayed in touch with it over the years. And the number of great players that have come out of the SWAC would really blow people away.
Man, I'm telling you, it's a lot on. I'm talking about. If you look at it back here 15, 20 years ago, there was a lot of defensive backs come out of the SWAC played in the NFL. You know, go from the Wrights, you know, all them,
sure.
Jimmy Johnson, you know, all them guys came out of the SWAC and they appreciated it when they went to the NFL, you know. And, you know, another thing I liked about Deion Sanders, he took the Southern Heritage to another level. When them people was dividing the money with them, he changed that culture to why y'all can't come to my place to play and why we can't go to your place and play so we can make the money, you know. He did a lot of changes, and I ain't mad at him about that. He even got the names on the back of the jersey at Jackson State that we ain't seen in 30 years, you know. Deion's going to do good. He going to do good. I mean, hey, he don't owe nobody no explanation why he left. I mean, hey, if I'm making $300,000, somebody gonna offer me $5 million, I'm gone too.
You better believe it.
You think I'm gonna stick around?
You get one of those jobs, Shadell. I'm going with you. Hey, thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Let's check in with Diane up next in Alabama.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Diane. Good afternoon.
Hey, I think the top four teams need to kind of be on high alert right now. because Larry might try to pull a Harvey Updike on him so Alabama can get in.
We don't need no more Harvey Updikes around. But Larry would be a good understudy for Harvey Updike. I agree with you.
Yep. Well, I think they just need to beware because he may have a lot of helpers or some hitmen on him.
I do think, though, and I knew Harvey Updike, I'm sad to admit, I do think Larry is smarter than Harvey Updike.
I think he is, too. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Bob is in Nebraska. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Coach. I got a big question for you, man. You know, they keep saying we got the four best teams, but I kind of got a problem with it. Okay? You know, I watched Boo on TV yesterday for 4 hours saying that TCU shouldn't be penalized for losing the conference championship, and it was overtime. I get that, but we really put it against USC on that. And I'm not a USC fan. I'm go Big Red, baby. And we got Matt Rhule now. But how do we say in one breath that we're not gonna
punish them for losing? Here's the problem with USC and. They lost to the same team.
I know, two losses.
That made it impossible for them to overcome.
Let me ask you this, though, Paul. Let me ask you this. If Ohio State and Michigan had played and I know they're in the same side. I'm a Big Ten guy, so I know they're in the same side. They can't play in the conference championship. Had they played again, though, do you think Michigan would have beat them again?
I do, yeah. And by the way, what you just laid out is where we're going in a couple of years. Nobody's going to have division, so we are going to see. But the difference here is once we go to that system, you can get away with it because we'll have 12 teams. But so if you rank the highest rank, if we did it the way it's going to be, Alabama would have played Georgia. Michigan would have played Ohio State instead of the matchups that we had. And let's cut to the chase. Alabama would have been more competitive than LSU, and Ohio State would have been significantly more competitive than Purdue. But that's, you know, we have divisions for a reason, and Alabama lost the division head-to-head. So there is no conversation about that. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Josh is in Michigan. Hello, Josh. Good afternoon.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey there.
Love your show, by the way.
Appreciate that very much.
I've got a question about the transfer portal. My question is, you know, ever since that Blake Corum injury, I've been wondering, you know, and I don't understand the transfer portal that well. But I was thinking because you can just transfer whenever. Can they do that for the playoffs? Hypothetically, let's say Donovan Edwards is also injured, and we don't have another running back. Can a 5-star running back from another school just to try to get to a national championship or to the playoffs, can they just transfer right now? Is that allowed?
No, that will not work. By the way, I'm not going to be surprised if we end up going that way in the future. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to be on the roster at the beginning of the season.
Okay, you do have to be on the roster. And then my follow-up was about the committee for a question, which was going to be, I always wondered if it was always about the viewership. And if it was about viewership with this whole USC loss and the TCU loss, wouldn't have more viewership came in to have a repeat of Michigan Ohio State?
I think that's a fallacy. First of all, the contract's already done. This committee consists of athletic directors and leading people from around intercollegiate athletics. There's some outliers. They're not sitting there like television executives going, which game is going to get the biggest ratings? I don't really think they care. The interesting thing is when TCU was down by 10, if that score had held up, I think TCU would have been eliminated, even though it contradicts everything that Boo Corrigan said yesterday. But I just think that's the way it is. And we would have had Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State. And maybe they would have tried to juggle it But those four would have been in. And it would, you talk about monster ratings. That would have been a monster New Year's Eve afternoon. I think they would have probably tried to stick Alabama. But they couldn't have, though, because you couldn't have then ranked Alabama ahead of Ohio State, considering that they were ranked behind Ohio State the previous week and neither had played a game. But that's what we would have had. We would have had two blockbusters, but they chose not to do it. Now, which was evidence that they really aren't concerned about ratings, and they shouldn't be. That's ESPN's problem, not theirs. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Willie B. is up next.
Paul Feinbaum, don't cut me off tonight. I got something for you here, Paul.
We'll be the judge of that.
You're the best. Let me just tell you, Paul, we're going in the wrong direction. There are only two teams that deserve to wear the crown. There are only two teams that deserve to have a storybook ending to go undefeated and be national champs. And that's Georgia and Michigan, Paul. The idea that we have a committee involved is just ludicrous. And now, my wife was a cheerleading coach, and they had a committee involved to determine who the best team was. And that's the problem with college football, Paul. They can't get it right. They're stuck between do we want to crown the best team or the team that plays better? And because they're in between this never-never land, we end up handing participation trophies out. Well, here you go. We're sorry you couldn't win your own conference championship, but you get a participation trophy to come play. Ohio State, you got embarrassed on your home field by 3 touchdowns to your arch rival. But because you've got great brand and Kirby graduated from there, we're going to give you a participation trophy. None of them deserve to be there. And I'm going to tell you.
Willie B., slow down. Who graduated from there?
Yes, sir. Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, okay. So that's You think because Herbstreit went to Ohio State, that's the reason they got in?
Paul, let's face it. What happened last time Michigan was in the playoffs last year? They got whooped. Go to your history book. Last time Ohio State and Alabama played, it was a whooping. The last time Ohio State played South Carolina, Paul, they got whooped. The last time Michigan played South Carolina, Paul, they got whooped.
Well, Willie, hold on a second. Are we arguing a case in front of the Supreme Court using precedent, or are we talking about this year in college football?
Paul, we're talking about the state of college football and the fact that they're so desperate for a Big Ten champ, they want Georgia to beat two of them back-to-back. TCU will be gone in one game. So Georgia's going to have to go whoop Ohio State and then double prove it by whooping Michigan. And to be honest with you, they're the happiest team today is Georgia, because they're glad Alabama's not there. Because if Alabama was there, and Paul, what do they do in soccer? What do they do in soccer, Paul? And you're in a tournament. It's a cumulative score. You lose two games on the last play, and that disqualifies you from a team that got their ass whooped at home?
Well, Willie B., help me out with something, okay? I don't know where you were Saturday. I was in Atlanta at the SEC championship game. I kept looking for Alabama. What happened? How did they not qualify to be in the SEC championship game?
Paul, I love it. Check the tape, because after Alabama came to Columbia and we beat them by two touchdowns, you asked me what game I was watching. I was watching the same game, Paul. Alabama wasn't there because they got beat on two flukes. Let's do this.
Let's throw Tennessee out, okay?
Throw them out, Paul.
They go down to Baton Rouge, where, 5 weeks earlier, Tennessee won by 27 points, and they lose on a two-point conversion. That was a fluke?
They lose. Paul, if you're Alabama, you're the number one team in the country with the number one coach in the country.
I got bad news. They were no longer number one when they went to Baton Rouge.
Paul, they got the best recruits. We all know they're the best team. To ask them to be godly 12 games in a row, year after year, is a little
not
ridiculous.
Really. It's not too much to ask if you expect them to be in the playoffs, which – Alabama's only missed the playoffs twice in the last 3 years?
30 minutes ago, said Alabama was better than Ohio State, Paul.
No, I just said I thought Alabama would beat Ohio State, but that's not how we're judging this. We're talking about the season, not what I think is going to happen. By the way, I also thought Alabama was going to beat LSU, so what difference does that make?
The problem, Paul, is you use the word judge. We've got a committee place in judgment. So either
that's
we're going to have a play-in where you earn your way there, or we get rid of the beauty pageant, Paul. You can't have it both ways.
Well, Willie, we're expanding the playoff to 12, so this year, if we expanded it, Alabama would have gotten in.
Paul, the problem with the way they're expanding it is they still want control and power. There's still going to be a committee to determine who the six at-larges
are.
That's
true. Well, what
that's
are we supposed to do? Leave it up
doing
to Willie B. From Charlotte? I'm sorry. We're not going to do that. Let's go to Jerry, who is in South Carolina. Maybe he'll make some more sense.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. I don't know what that dude right there has been drinking, but man, I'd like to have some.
It was cheap bourbon, Willie, I can tell you right now.
No, I just wanted to make a remark about South Carolina, how at even preseason, everybody went through the schedule and they said, hey, you know, South Carolina won't beat Texas A&M. South Carolina won't beat Kentucky. South Carolina won't beat Tennessee. South Carolina won't beat Clemson. The proof is in the pudding. In the way that college football is today, there's not a team out there that is not susceptible to getting beat on any given Saturday. And this guy talking about there's only two teams that should be, you know, worthy of the playoff, the way it's set up. You knew this even going into playing college football, that there were going to be number one, number two, number three, and number four. I mean, that's the way it was set up. You go by the rules. But, you know, that's neither here nor there for me to say, for the committee. My point is, you know, people just can't just say that, hey, my Gamecocks are not going to produce when they showed them different this year. And all I can say is, go Cox, go.
I am with you, and thank you for the call. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to a New York Times columnist who took a good look at how the system worked on Sunday, and he'll share with you his view.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Elliot is in Tennessee. You're next, Elliot. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
So I just had a question about you. I wanted to know if Hendon Hooker will make it to New York for the Heisman this weekend. You know, he just came off of his SEC Offensive Player of the Year award. And back in, I believe, 1993, the Florida State quarterback Charlie Ward actually beat out Tennessee's quarterback Heath Shuler after missing a game or two due to, I think, a rib injury. And, you know, obviously,
Elliot,
with Hooker,
let me jump in. We'll know in an hour and 15 minutes. I think he's got a shot at the fourth position. I think it's going to be Caleb Williams, Duggan, maybe Stetson, Hendon. I think there's a little bit of uncertainty, but there's certainly sentiment for him. Hey, thank you very much. We mentioned Billy Woods joining us from the New York Times. He's covered the Pac-12 game over the weekend. He wrote a column that appeared today about Nick Saban and how the CFP came to its conclusion. Billy, thank you. We always appreciate you joining us. We particularly appreciate you mentioning the Feinbaum callers in the New York Times today. That was big for all of us.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's good to be here.
Well, let's start, before we get too deep into the process, just your analysis of how it ended up based on watching all day yesterday, seeing what these committee chairmen have to say, even though it can be not mind-numbing at times. But what are your thoughts on the Final Four?
Well, it's pretty simple. I don't think there was a whole lot for them to really think about. You know, the four teams were kind of the four teams. You have the two obvious ones, in Georgia and Michigan and TCU. Yeah, they're probably, flawed a little bit. They had a lot of close games, and so you wonder, how good are they? But they should be given some credit for their resilience. And then it's like, okay, well, we need a fourth team. So, Ohio State was, like the least ugly one of, of the bunch.
I wanted to ask you in particular about some of your thoughts and comments about Nick Saban, who has been criticized by you and others for what he did Saturday night, appearing on various forums to campaign to get Alabama in. I know everybody takes a different path. Usually it's on the field. He chose to go off the field. Your thoughts on how the GOAT handled that moment?
Well, one thing I wonder about it, and I just sort of flashed to this in what I wrote, is that, I got to think deep down he knew that, this wasn't, it seemed like he almost had a smirk on when he was, on Fox and being questioned about it. And I just wonder if this is just more of a case of him sort of speaking to his base and, to try to make it look like, hey, we're fighting, we're doing everything because, you know, they had plenty of opportunities, and, you know, this wasn't, you know, in fact, I don't know, Paul, I don't even think this was as good a team. Now, maybe they have a slightly better case, but I don't think this was as good a team as 2019. I mean, there were some similarities. That team didn't really beat anybody good either, but, you know, they lost a, you know, an all-time LSU team, and the, you know, the Auburn game was like an all-time, you know, crazy, nutty Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I think they had a field goal at the end of that game, and it went
haywire. Right.
And then there was some bizarre play at the end that Alabama couldn't finish the job. I wonder, though, and I understand what you're alluding to, but I'm struggling to understand why Nick Saban, of all people, needs to play to his base. I wondered if he wouldn't have been better off just coming out and saying, you know what, we don't really deserve to be in. I think all of us would be praising him today, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, let's face it, too, if USC had won, you know, before Friday, I mean, you know, Kevin Warren was telling Ralph Russo that, wow, that Ohio State team played 46 and a half great quarters. And, you know, it's like, come on. And you know, if USC had won, they'd be campaigning and doing the same thing. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I guess it's what you do. And, you know, I mean, everybody's angling for something. Even, you know, the Fiesta Bowl, they, you know, if SC won, you know, they were making cases to the committee that SC should jump to three ahead of TCU, even if TCU had won. So, you know, because they wanted a Michigan SC game. So, it, you know, I don't know. Everybody's, I guess this is what happens when, you know, when it's done by selection and not, you know, this isn't like a pro thing where you just look at the standings and, you know, you take the top eight teams or the top, you know, whatever. So it's the world as it stands.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's convoluted, but what isn't convoluted about college football might be the better question.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, I think the thing that sort of was, I don't know, maybe unseemly about Alabama's case is there was nothing there. I mean, anything that, you know, Saban talks about, you could come back and, I mean, it was very easy to, you know, I think one plays, well, we lost, you know, two games on the, you know, on the last play. That's true. But they also won two games on the last play, and they also won a game because Lane Kiffin decided not to give the ball to his best player, you know, inside the 15-yard line in the last minute. So, I don't know. There was
Billy,
you know,
I agree
everything.
With you. I just think that, and I think you're right. I mean, Kevin Warren's statement were incredibly stupid on the context of making excuses for a team that still had Michigan tire tracks on their helmets. But I don't know. I mean, I live in this world as you do. You live in it not quite as closely as I do. But I just wish these people would talk like the intelligent people they are. And Kevin Warren and Nick Saban are two extraordinarily bright people who made unbelievably dumb arguments.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what compels them. And I mean, I guess in Saban's case, I mean, you know, you would know better than me, but it just, I mean, that's why I'm kind of like searching for ideas. Maybe, you know, I mean, they clearly underachieved this year. I mean, and so maybe it's a way to deflect some attention to, you know, if the fan base is less focused on how they underperformed rather than, oh, we got shafted.
Well, I was glad to see most reasonable people, including you, shoot down this this absolute incomprehensible straw dog of the Vegas betting line should now be determinative of who goes to the playoffs. I mean, by the way, I don't know. I'd love to know how it went down, but something tells me Nick Saban didn't walk into the studio in front of the camera with that in his mind. It seems like some flack around him gave him that, and he went down with the ship as a result.
You really think he's taking marching orders from somebody else?
I think when it comes to public relations, somebody put that in his head, Billy. I just, and maybe I'm giving Nick Saban way too much credit to go down to the lowest common denominator, like a fan at the end of the bar, and start screaming, "Hey, well, we would have been favored."
Yeah, and that's you know. By the way, I don't know. You would maybe know this. I certainly don't, but when is the last time Alabama has not been favored?
I think I do know this. Since 2009, the SEC championship game, Billy, I believe Alabama has been an underdog twice. They were an underdog in 2015 at Georgia by 1.5 points and won by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And I'm trying to remember, were they an underdog in the national championship game? Somebody... I think they were. They may have been a 1 or 2 point underdog in that game this year. So those would be the only two times.
Oh, right. Okay.
In, well, since 2009. I mean, that was.
Wow, that's remarkable.
I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah. Well, then they've really underachieved.
Yeah, they really are.
Going by the odds makers.
I once Steve Spurrier once walked. I once saw him and. And he said Alabama had just lost. He said, "How did they ever lose?" He said, "They have the best talent. They're not supposed to lose." And I think the people that come up with the betting line, however they do that, is supportive of that. But anyway, none of it matters. You're right. You know, we have the four tomorrow. Nobody will really care much. But I was really intrigued by what you said. Okay, but yeah, let me amend what I just said. Georgia was favored both in the SEC championship game last year and the national championship.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So until last December, 52 weeks ago, Alabama had been the underdog one time. So I think the final Jeopardy question is who other than Georgia has been favored over Alabama in the last 15 years or so, and the answer is nobody.
Yeah, that's that's really remarkable. So, I don't know. The whole thing was baffling and, you know, I don't know. And not in my eyes, kind of unseemly, but you know, it's who am I to say?
Well, you did say it. So, that's who you are.
That's true.
And, you're not alone. Billy Witz, joining us from the New York Times. Appreciate that very much. We head to the break now. And we'll get your reaction to that and more right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and Damien is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Damien. Good afternoon.
Well, Paul, I feel like the kid in school that had his hand up, and whenever he gets called on, he says, "Well, he said everything I was going to say." That was a pretty good segment with what to say. But yeah, I think McLaren said it best. I think it's not necessarily about the best teams. It's about the most deserving teams. And who would be favored in the game really doesn't matter. I'll just take one game. What if Alabama misses that field goal against Texas? You know, does that change your opinion on whether you think they could beat Ohio State or not?
They were about a 22-point favorite in that game.
I'm sorry?
They were a 22-point favorite in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact that they won the game or lost the game really doesn't change your perception of how the team's playing or what they would do against certain teams. So I think they got it right. I think they got it right. I think what the problem is everybody has a bitter taste in their mouth because Ohio State got blown out, and they really did not look good in that second half. And I really don't think they stand any chance against Georgia, but who does?
I don't think anybody, but, hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. Let's check in with Matt, who is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, man. Paul, gosh, let me ask you, you know about these things a lot more than I do. So, Paul, what's the rules for the NCAA? Is it for the committee? Is the rules to pick the four best teams, or is the rules to pick the four most deserving teams? Because the way I thought it was, I thought that it was we were supposed to pick the four best teams and give preference to conference champions, and then second look at strength of schedules and the likes, Paul. Is that wrong?
I think you're right until there's an exception, which was the case this year. So, I think all of us are a big cabal that cover college football. We get sucked into these narratives, and I would have appreciated Coach Saban attacking the media for following the committee lock, stock, and barrel. And talking about who do you really think are the best teams, and I think that's a good argument. Do you think we're better than them? Not who would be favored. The favored line, I thought, really, for a college football coach, I thought that was a slippery slope.
Well, that's just it, Paul. I mean, like you said, I mean, that's the rules until it's the year, until there's an exception, but that's not the rules. So the rules do say that we pick the four best teams, and Paul, humor me for just a moment here, but if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State got dominated at home by more than three touchdowns. Bama was never dominated this season by a single team.
Bama was down big against Tennessee, and obviously they came back and went ahead. And I think that was the only I'm trying to remember if they were ever in that kind of trouble.
One other game, they
got down maybe 10 points and came back quickly.
Paul, everybody's trying to gloss over the facts. Paul, the facts are that the Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young, hurt his throwing shoulder. He was hurt in the game. Sure. And they still lost by three points, and last-second field goal to lose the game 52-49 with the hurt Bryce Young. But, I mean, Bryce Young's not hurt today, so obviously Alabama's a lot stronger today, but let's don't let facts get in the way of a good argument. You know, Paul, Tennessee even tore down their goalpost. The fans tore down their goalpost after beating Alabama. That's how significant it was. You know, Paul, also, that was one of the top five most hostile environments in all of college football this season. You know, also, Paul, Alabama lost what? They lost to Death Valley in what one of the top five most hostile environments in all of college football, and it come down to what? Overtime. They lost in overtime against LSU. And then, Paul, the LSU fans, they tore down their goalpost, or at least they attempted to tear down their goalpost.
They tried.
Which tells you that the LSU fans and faithful were well aware of the fact that Bryce Young was hurt whenever they were playing against Tennessee, which they knew Alabama was a great team, which is exactly why they tore down their goalpost. You know, Paul, Alabama had a stronger power football index than both Ohio State, TCU and Michigan, I think. Yeah, no, they did, in fact. Everyone except for Georgia, Paul. You know, I think Alabama had a stronger strength of schedule than every team.
Hey, you know something, Matt? I don't know where you were Saturday night. You've made a more compelling argument than Saban did on TV.
You know, Paul, I thought the same thing myself, and I was listening to Billy Blue Yankee that we were just listening to. Yeah, My apologies, Paul. Mr. Billy Wiz, not Billy Blue Yankee. Now, when I was listening to here, I hear a whole lot of ums and huhs and oh, I don't knows and ums and oh, maybes and, you know, all this crap. And the reason you hear all that crap is because he doesn't know. But you know, Paul, if somebody's watching this stuff, you do know. Alabama has been robbed in this. I mean, I think it's obvious. You know, Paul, who's the last team to beat Georgia? Let me ask you that.
Bammer.
Pretty sure it was Alabama, right?
I'm positive.
And let me ask you this, Paul. Did Alabama just barely beat Georgia in the game, or did they dominate Georgia in that game?
They dominated Georgia. Beat them.
Okay, all right.
Georgia, I'm pretty sure I saw Kirby Smart waving a white flag.
I know it. I don't think Nick Saban gave him any mercy either.
No.
You know, Paul, Alabama being the last team to dominate and beat Georgia.
A quick question. I don't know what you do in your vocation. It's none of my business. But I recommend that you become the new director of publicity for Alabama football, because you've done a really good job of selling all of us on why Alabama deserves to go in. And I suggest that somebody file an emergency lawsuit to try to get Alabama in. I mean that. This playoff cannot go on. So is there a lawyer out there? I'm sure I know a couple of names that have done things similar to this. They could do it tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.